So today we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4 verses 9 and 10, which is on page 1227 in the Church Bibles. One John chapter 4, starting at verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lamentations 3, and then we're going to look at it. So I'm just going to read from Lamentations 3, verses 1 to 33 and verse 39. So it's on page 826. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like the bear lying in wait, like the lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target of his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone, and all that I have hoped for from the Lord. I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief on anyone. And I'm going to read verse 39, which explains why this believer is suffering. So he says, why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let me pray and then we'll look at this passage. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that you have kept us alive for one more day. Thank you for your Son, that we are alive in Christ as believers. Thank you that we have your word that can nourish us, that can spiritually feed us and help us in our spiritual journey. Continue to minister to us even today by your word, by your spirit. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So Shannon Pinto has served as a pastor at Utsav Church in India for 13 years. He married Farah in 2004. They had a joyful marriage and had a daughter, Anya. Farah was extremely fit and healthy all her life, but she suddenly fell ill and was diagnosed with a rare genetic blood disorder. In a tragic turn of events, Farah went to be with the Lord just 2 days after she was admitted in the hospital. She was only 39. Shannon and his daughter, Anaya, were devastated by Farah's death and the suddenness of it all. Shannon said, "He lived with raw pain for about 6 months. He was sore from head to toe. He felt like he had an amputation, as though half of him had been torn away from him." Christians like Shannon, who faced suffering and loss, had to find a way to make sense of these tragic circumstances. But they also have to think how to approach their future in relationship to God. In today's passage, Lamentations 3, we meet a believer like Shannon who has faced suffering and loss. In order to make sense of the suffering, he laments to God. In order to approach his future in relationship with God, he laments with hope. The suffering and loss we face in this world will cause us pain and grief, but can never rob a Christian of the hope we have in God. In God, we both have a space to grieve and lament, but we can also have a reason to hope. In today's talk, I've divided it into two sections. So the first section is lamenting amidst suffering, verses 1 to 18, and the second point is lamenting with hope, verses 19 to 33. So the first point is lamenting amidst suffering, verses 1 to 18. You can see that on the screen as well. So we have been looking at this lamentation and this strange book of how a believer tried to process the suffering he faces in this world and how he faces it by bringing it to God. So lament means godly speaking and groaning and crying and praying. So in the first two chapters of Lamentation, it describes the results of Babylon's destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC in vivid detail. It's just not the enemy nation, Babylon, that has caused destruction, but the writer laments about God's anger and the wrath upon Jerusalem. This third chapter connects with the second chapter, but here we see a man, an individual, lamenting about his own personal suffering in a war-torn place like Jerusalem. And we read in verse 1, he says, "I am the man who has seen affliction under the Lord's wrath," which portrays a believer who laments about his affliction under the Lord's wrath. The word for man here can be translated as a strong man. He has vitality and strength, but suddenly God has afflicted him now. As we saw last week, God is wrathful because God is love, because he cares. Anger is in the opposite of love. The opposite of love is indifference. God is not angry because he wants something and someone else was stopping him from getting what he wants. Human anger is predominantly this, a frustration that they cannot have things their own way. But it's different with God. God is angry because he cares for people. His anger is part of his love. If God does not punish us for the sin we commit in this world, then he does not care about justice and about the well-being of people. And so why does God's wrath pour on this believer? As we read in verse 39, it says, God's anger was displayed on this believer as a punishment for his wrongdoing before God, his sins. In this chapter, we see the believer laments about the physical anguish he had to endure. So we can see the severity of the punishment that is described in this passage. In verse 2, it says, "He has driven away." He means God has driven away. And in verse 4, he says, "He had broken my bones." And verse 5, he says, "He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship." And verse 7, he says, "He has walled me in so I cannot escape." He feels like he's now imprisoned and he has been weighed down with chains. And verse 9, he says, God has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has broken my teeth with gravel. The believer laments that the punishment he has received is so severe. But things get even worse. The language gets violent, like an animal who has been targeted, violently attacked and hunted down. This man, from verse 10 onwards, he says, I'm like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding. He dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. He was also given bitter things to drink and made to lie down in the dust. He was made to suffer extreme physical suffering. But if you keep on reading, we see that the suffering doesn't stop with physical pain. He also had to endure emotional pain. As we read in verse 14, the author laments that God has shamed him in public. He has made him a laughing stock before others. In the Old Testament times, and also among cultures in modern-day Middle Eastern world or in Asia or in Africa, shame and honor is a huge deal. Being put to public shame can be far more painful than to deal with your own physical pain in your own house. So missiologist Jason Georges describes what honor and shame is. He says, honor is a person's social worth, one's value in the eyes of the community. Honor is when other people think well of you. And this results in your social status among the community. Shame, on the other hand, is a negative public rating. The community thinks lowly of you. They are laughing at you. They want to disassociate themselves from you. Basically, it means you're being deserted by your own family and community. This believer might have felt lonely and humiliated. A man, if you could see from verse 17 onwards, he was once a man who has seen a great splendor and had lived in a land of prosperity and peace, and now he is made to lament about the loss of status, wealth, and fame. I will read verse 17. I had been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone, and all that I hope from the Lord. So this man is in a state where he's in extreme physical suffering, but he's facing a lot of emotional suffering, and he has lost all hope. And as we have seen in the previous two chapters, this is the story of a believer in the Old Testament. This believer laments because he's under God's punishment for sin. Now Jesus has come. What is different? We don't belong in this part of the Bible. For Christians, Jesus has taken the punishment from God for our sins. I might suffer punishment from the government if I sin and break the law. But for Christians, there is no punishment from God for sin. That is because Jesus has suffered for us. He has had all the punishment from God for our sins. However, what is similar for believers in the Old Testament and for us believers in the New Testament is that we all live in a broken world. Suffering is part and parcel of our lives as well. Being a believer does not mean that life is going to be a bed of roses. We live in a broken world. Maybe our education is not going to go the way we hope for. Maybe our health is not going to go the way we hope for. We might lose our loved ones. We may experience brokenness in our relationships. People might abuse us. We might face redundancy in jobs. As with believers in the Old Testament, we are also allowed to grieve and lament and bring our prayers before God. But we don't just stop with just lamenting. This believer also has an important thing to share with us, and this is reflected in the second half of the chapter from verses 19 to 33, which we will look at now in the second point, lamenting with hope. So now we are looking at the second point, the lamenting with hope, verses 19 to 33. So the word hope is commonly used to mean like a wish, isn't it? It's, I hope there will be good weather next week. In some sense, it's just my own desires. I'm hoping somehow things will be better next week. I'm going to go out with my son in the park. And sometimes in Christian circles, the hope is given in a wrong way, isn't it? If you follow God, all your life will be health and wealth. That is wrong teaching as well. And some churches say, oh, you come to our church, the man of God is so powerful. If you are under him, everything is going to be okay. That's not said in the Bible as well. But hope in the Bible is different. The biblical hope is the confidence, is a confident expectation of what God has promised and the strength that is in trusting in his faithfulness. So we have a God who has promised us certain things in the Bible, and we are hoping and expecting that he will surely fulfill all his promises because he knows of his faithfulness. And we can see this kind of hope reflected in the believer from verses 21 to 23. So he remembers God's faithfulness. He remembers God's mercies and his steadfast love. In verse 21, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. So this is not something the believer has suddenly thought about on his own. These are things he knows from the Old Testament. These were already there in the book of Exodus, verses chapter 34, where it talks about the character of God as the compassionate and gracious God who is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands of generations, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So he has remembered what he has learned from the Bible, and this has brought him hope. And he continues on in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. When we think about what belongs to us, we often think about materialistic things. Oh, I got this much money in the bank, or have this kind of education, I have these properties, and so on. How much do we dwell on the fact that we belong to God? He is our portion, who can never be taken away from us. As said in verse 25, irrespective of our hopeless circumstances, we can hope in God. Our suffering is not something that will last forever. We read in Revelation that one day God will himself will wipe away all the tears from his people. All of God's promises for you in Jesus will be fulfilled. Verse 26 encourages us to wait for the salvation to come from the Lord. And verse 31, it reminds us that no one of us will be cast off by the Lord forever. So great is his unfailing love of God towards his people. It is not easy to go through pain and suffering in this world. Whether we are currently going through pain and suffering or grieved by what we listen and witness of things happening around the world, war, global warming, and so on, our first intuition can be to blame God for it all. Even if you don't blame him, It is challenging to maintain our first love for Him as we face more and more suffering in this broken world. How then can we make an affirmation like this believer who in his difficult circumstances is confessing that his God is faithful? How can we proclaim that our God is faithful, He is compassionate, He is great in His unfailing love, and how can we wait on Him in hope? The answer is, in a broken world, we need to learn to fix our eyes upon the One who willingly faced God's anger on our behalf. Jesus, the God who came as a human. He willingly allowed Himself to be besieged, as in verse 5. He willingly allowed Himself to be surrendered by bitterness and hardship. He willingly allowed Himself to be shut off when He called out in prayer. He willingly allowed Himself to be pierced. He willingly allowed to drink bitter gall. He willingly allowed people to mock Him. He willingly allowed to give up His splendor. He willingly died and faced the judgment of God for our sinful doings. There we fix our eyes and we lament in hope. To summarize this chapter describes a believer who laments the deserved suffering he faces under the anger of God. Part of the lament is admitting the pain we suffer to God. But it's not simply admitting that there is pain. It is admitting its depths. In these first 19 verses, what you find is a believer honestly bringing his emotions and depths of pain suffered to the presence of God, to lament and grow in his relationship with God. However, we saw things taking a turn in the second half of this chapter because this believer trusts in the unchanging character of God and His faithfulness to His people. In the light of this truth, he finds hope to wait on God's promises patiently. So to practically speak about it, not everyone will be able to reflect, process our emotions, articulate well and lament to God in prayer. In that sense, the book of Lamentations and the book of Psalms, where we find a lot of songs related to lament, can be precious friends for believers who are grieving through loss. They show us that the Bible has categories for our emotions and feelings of deep grief. These books also help us articulate the depths of emotions we feel about our own suffering and loss. Use them in your prayers to lament and grow in your relationship with God. This believer also knew his God from the Bible, which was instrumental to help him lament in hope. It is the same for us. We need to know this God in order to lament with hope in times of suffering. One practical step is to join our church Bible study groups or midweek growth groups if possible, as we can help each other to understand God better and spur one another on in our spiritual journey. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that in your word we understand that you're a God who is a faithful one. You are a God whose love is unchanging. We are fickle people. We are not good with relationships. We start relationships and we walk away. But we pray that you would help us through your word and through your spirit to remain faithful to the ever faithful one. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.